The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Joining me today on the podcast is Andrew Knott, Chief Executive Officer of Savannah Energy. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Now, just quickly for those investors who are listening but might not necessarily be familiar with Savannah Energy, perhaps you could tell us just a little bit about the company.
Yeah, Savannah Energy, we're an AIM-listed energy company with assets in two countries, Nigeria and Niger, both of which are large, high-quality, high-growth projects. The asset base that we have in Nigeria is significantly cash flow generative, and we've announced significant improvements in the performance of the asset since we acquired them in November last year. And in Niger, we have a very large area of land under license. We've made 5 exploration discoveries. We have clear plans to bring them on stream. And then an awful lot more exploration activity to pursue. So that's our company. We are a cash flow generative, strongly performing oil and gas business in Nigeria. And then in Niger, we are an exploration-led business.
That's great. Now, you recently published results for the 2019 financial year. As I understand it, this also includes around 6 weeks of operations in Nigeria since acquiring the assets in November. What is significant about these results?
Okay, well, look, I think there's two things we've done. We published the 2019 results, but we've also published an update in terms of the performance we've seen in the first half of 2020.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think at a high level, in terms of when we started the process of the acquisition, the Nigerian assets were doing about 14,000 barrels a day. We've now got them up to, in the first half of the year, doing 19.6. So that's a 40% increase in production. On a cash collected basis, we've also similarly increased cash collections by about 37%. So that's a very, very significant turnaround in the underlying performance of the business. What that's meant is that we are in a position where we can give guidance for the full year for 2020, whereby we expect our revenues to be more than $200 million, our production to be between 21 and 23,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day on a gross basis. We expect costs to be in the region of $68 to $72 million, and we'll spend about $45 million on capex. So what we're trying to say is that we expect the business to generate significant cash flows. And I think what is quite important is that in the challenging times that we've been in, we've managed to increase our production volumes at a time when many people in Nigeria and globally have suffered material declines in their production. And that's really a testament to the very hard work that our people have put in terms of trying to deliver these business improvements, which we said we would be able to deliver when we did the deal, but now people were actually able to demonstrate that.
Yeah, and you've previously stated that you're already supplying gas to over 10% of Nigeria's power generation capacity. How do you see this continuing?
Okay, so we currently supply gas to 3 principal customers, a cement factory and 2 power stations. What we said is that one of the attractions of our Nigerian asset base is significantly underutilized on a capacity basis. I.e., there was a lot of money spent, well over $1 billion spent on the asset, but the current utilization of that asset, depending on whether it's the pipe or the CPF, is about 50% or 25%. So very, very limited utilization. So the marginal cost of adding new customers to the business is extremely low, and the potential upside that can be achieved is significant. It's potentially very high. So we announced the first new customer, which was a 3rd power station customer that the business had signed up in nearly 6 years in January. So within a matter of weeks from completing the acquisition. And we've been very clear that we expect to be able to sign additional customers up over the course of this year. Even with the issues around COVID slowing things down, we still expect to be able to continue to sign up new customers. So our ability to grow our customer base and to grow our margin, we continue to believe in very much. We're doing something which creates tremendous social good, the provision of power in a country which has very, very high demand growth and a very, very substantial need for that power. And it's just a case of it's just a case of now working our way through the process of doing it. So by the end of the year, we should be connected to up to 15% of Nigeria's power generation capacity, as an example. What I would say is our annual report is 177 pages. It's a very big document. There's a lot of detail about Nigeria, about Niger, about our businesses, about our business models. There's a lot of interaction with core stakeholders, governmental stakeholders. There's an awful lot about the sustainable development and how we approach sustainability, the social projects we've invested in, and this and the social good our projects are providing to our host countries. So there's an awful lot of information in the annual report. I think it's much more comprehensive than many annual reports you will see.
Now, just touching on the fact that you said that you'll continue to integrate the Nigerian assets with a specific focus on sustainability and group-wide ESG performance, if you like, how will you do this?
So we're very lucky in that the Nigerian business that we had already was already largely reporting to IFC, so the World Bank Performance Standards, and there's a lot of information on that. So given who the previous owners of the assets were, there was already an awful lot of sustainability was firmly embedded in the culture of the business that we acquired.
Mm.
Project that we have in Niger, so our other business, that project is contributing to a wider project which should increase that country's GDP by about 24-25%. So again, it's another very significant project. It's part of a very significant project for the country. And Savannah's always operated to the highest ethical standards. So from an ESG perspective, there's a lot in this report, and every year going forward, we expect to supplement it with further information. But I think we're very comfortable and very confident in the sustainable nature and the social good that our business is doing.
Mm. Okay, so you see your projects as having a positive impact in both of the countries that you're operating in. Are there any other ways that you view the assets as having transformed the company, or any other new ways that it will transform the company?
Okay, so look, so the assets that we have, if we take the Nigerian business, okay, which is the newer asset package,
mm.
We now are a full cycle energy company that is capable and is operating assets from the exploration phase all the way through to the cash flow generation phase. We have a very significant organization and a very, very clear corporate culture, which means that from an operational readiness and capability perspective, we have an ability to assess and take on new projects from a very, very, very solid base. Clearly, the cash generation transforms the business as well. We now generate significant cash flows, and we have significant relationships associated with those cash flows in terms of our investors and our lending syndicate. In Niger, the transformation really comes from the fact that we have a business where the finding cost is approximately or less than $2 a barrel. We think the value of the oil that can be found is up to $6 a barrel. 80% of wells that have been drilled in the basin that we operate in which we have nearly 50% under license, have proven to be successful. And we are in a position where our wells, we've had 100% success rate, and our ability to link up to existing infrastructure to monetize that is very, very high. And it's really, in terms of future transformation, a key focus now is on getting those Niger discoveries on stream and starting to generate cash flow from them. So we'd be generating cash in both Nigeria and Niger, with ultimately a view to commencing a progressive shareholder distribution policy.
Mm. And do you see, obviously you've kind of just touched on this, but do you see any further growth opportunities either in both of these two countries or even outside?
Okay, so the growth is relatively straightforward. So in Nigeria, it's about you've got an asset which is underutilized, and it's about increasing that utilization. So adding in new customers at hopefully an ever-increasing price. One of the key things is our gas is generally displacing diesel as a source of power. So it's a much cheaper, more secure source of power than diesel, which is typically very expensive and intermittent. And there's stuff on the internet, on our slide decks, that shows the cost comparison between the two.
Mm.
In terms of Niger, And as I said, the financial gearing is very high because most of the costs have already been spent. In Niger, it's about bringing on stream the R3 East development, which is the five discoveries that we've made to date, and then also at finding new oil and tying that back in and developing that. And then outside of that, any business development that we did would be very much focused around assets which are cash flow generative and capable of enabling us to accelerate our plans for shareholder redistributions. The oil and gas industry is in a unique place just now. There's a whole lot of assets for sale that are very high quality, and there's not a lot of buyers, especially in the emerging world. So there will be opportunity there, but we've got enough just to focus on in Nigeria and Niger and our existing asset base to generate a lot of value over the course of the coming months and years. And you'll see that, you'll see the director's confidence with the announcements in terms of the transactions this morning, whereby four of the directors acquired a significant amount of new shares.
That's great, Andrew. Thank you so much. I feel like you've touched on everything there. Just to close off, could you give our audience members three reasons to add Savannah Energy to their Vox Markets watch list?
Well, I think firstly, the fundamental quality of the assets that we have. Both of the assets that we have are very low risk technically and of a very large scale, uncommon for a company of our size. So I think the quality of the asset base, I think, is very, very important. And the management team's experience around developing assets like this. And if you look at our track record, what we've done, the financial performance of when we've done things, our ability to get things done to budget, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's all proven through the history of our company. Then you look at the individual growth opportunities. So in Nigeria, it's this whole very, very strong gearing that we have to signing up additional customers and an increase in price dynamic. And then in Niger, it's all about the quality of the assets, the repeatability of the exploration success, both for us and for others that have been in the basin, and then the significant upside that can come from bringing the R3 East development on stream. So really, it's the quality of the assets, and then it's the strong growth opportunities in both of our core projects, the Nigerian project and the Niger project.
Right. Thank you so much for coming on, Andrew.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.